TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo!
Guerrilla tactics, it's time for warfare. Yo, we came to battle, yo, we aim to kill.
Your fruity pebbles are so fucking loud.
Well, I just realized they were loud fruity pebbles.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Rance, aka Ray Cash. And this is the Under Protest Edition. The militant edition of the Outsider's Edge. Standing up for my brothers. First let me introduce my other brothers. Carl and Kyle. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Wonderful.
I'm in the middle. I'm partially protesting and partially wonderful.
So look, we got a lot to talk about, but we got to get into this, okay? So the white man got one over on the black man again. And
first time that's happened in 5 minutes.
A little less. What's the thing on Simpsons? Zero days since last accident?
Yeah.
5 seconds since last racism. No, all joking aside, like, legitimately, Kofi Kingston has become the biggest star in pro wrestling of the day right now. I don't think any of us would ever have said that. I know normally we banter and joke and funny ha-ha before we get into the topics, but ain't nothing to talk about right now but Kofi, dog. There's nothing. Well, there's shit to talk about, but I'm being facetious. But, like, Kofi is the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so first and foremost, I want to get you guys' opinion on the entire way the Gauntlet match went down and happened. Carl, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I can talk about this part. So I'm allowed to talk about this. I'll say this. You guys saw it in the group chat yesterday that this is why I never watch the fucking matches on the regular shows. This is why I watch the pay-per-view, because I hate it. I feel like my time was wasted. I could have just done what I always do. Well, saw him come out, watched like 30 seconds of the match, caught the ending, and then watched the Vince part. I didn't need to see the Gauntlet match. And the other thing that I like, because we know where we're headed, or we think we know where we're headed, right? So I'm cool with them throwing the wrinkle in. I'm fine with that. I just sat there and watched an hour match that I really didn't have to watch. And the other thing about it is the Kofi thing was the match was interesting. Where were they at last night? I can't remember. Do you know where they were at? What town?
Keep talking. I'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah. The only reason I say that is because, and I get it, it's a long match, right? But there were a lot of moments where the crowd was just like, and it was usually when Kofi was like laid out, you know? So it lulled. The match didn't – like, I wasn't enthralled as much as I thought I was going to be, because the crowd has a factor, plays a role in that sometimes, you know? And the other thing, I hated the commentary for the match. Hated it. Corey, if I had to hear one more time that Kofi Kingston had no chance, it was never – they said that about – if that was a drinking game, take a shot every time someone says the dream is over or Kofi Kingston has no chance – I've been in the hospital alcohol poisoning. They hit that so hard, and it was just so, like, I was annoyed by it. I couldn't mute the commentary, so I was just, because I was watching the computer. I guess I could have, but I couldn't. But the match was good. The match was good. I thought the first match with Sheamus was really good. The Orton match was really good because of the callback at the end. Just the middle just kind of drug, and I expected that. But for the most part, I wish I would have just read the damn spoilers and watched the segment part like I normally do with the show, because the wrestling just takes me right out of it.
Did you know that Kofi had no chance? Just in case you didn't know.
You know, that's what I had heard.
Oh, okay.
That's what I had heard.
Yeah. It was in Indy last night, Indianapolis.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I don't know how Indy is normally as a crowd. I figure they're pretty decent. They were good last night in the, when they were supposed
it's
to
be. It's a great city. I visited it very often. It's a wonderful city.
Well, it was pretty I enjoyed the crowd. They were good for a lot of portions of the show last night.
Well, call a spade a spade. Everybody's hot for Kofi right now. So they've been.
Well, except for Carl, the skulker over here.
I like Kofi. I'm all about Kofi. I've been telling y'all I think it should main event Mania. So I don't want to hear that. The match itself just drug, and we knew where they were headed. We knew he was going to win the damn thing. Like, I don't think there was anybody who didn't think he was going to.
But he lost, Carl. He lost. Right. He lost because of shenanigans and lies and moving the goalposts, and it's a conspiracy.
And veganism.
Kofi Kingston, and I'm not here for it.
Can I give myself some clout that I called that he was going to lose ultimately on Twitter?
Well, it wouldn't be the Outsider's Edge if you weren't, you know, patting yourself on the back.
If you motherfuckers were in Houston, you would do it for me, motherfucker.
I mean, it's cute to think that highly of us.
That's a good point. That's like a, like, I don't know if that was a positive or a negative response. Okay, but go ahead.
Both, yes.
What did you think about the Gauntlet match in general, before we talk about everything else involved?
I thought it started slow and finished strong. That was my, like, overall takeaway. But I think part of the reason that was my overall takeaway is almost every time I find myself watching Sheamus, I think to myself, I'm tired of watching Sheamus. I'm not really entertained by Sheamus anymore. Like, not even Cesaro is enough to make me want to see Sheamus right now. So, like...
Well, that's why he started.
I know that's why he started, but they also had, like, a relatively strong... 20-some-odd minute go.
They have had the longest actual match of the five.
Well, the first one was the longest, right? Because Kofi's actually
fresh. The freshest at that point. Yeah. And then, you know, then Cesaro came in right after that, and I really, really enjoyed the work between Kofi and Cesaro. And, like, it's funny, you know, Sheamus and Cesaro are an excellent tag team. The bar is great. But whereas every time I watch Sheamus, I have the thought, gosh, I'm really tired of Sheamus. Every time I watch Cesaro, I think to myself, damn, I want to see more Cesaro. Like, can I get some more Cesaro in my life?
And that exact thought is why they're a tag team, sir. Vince
You're
gives
right.
them 101.
You right. Cesaro, you want to see. Sheamus, you could take or leave. Coincidentally, Sheamus has a Hall of Fame resume. Cesaro is just kind of a mid-card guy of the era. But neither here nor there. Really
work rate doesn't matter.
Really enjoyed the match. As the participants were coming out, I thought, okay, time's getting a little low. Are they really going to pull this off? And then at like 9:55, I was like, oh shit, I guess they did. All right. And then Vince's music hit, and I was like, wait, is SmackDown about to get an overrun? And no. Daniel Bryan kicked Kofi in the face because that's the way things go.
So, look, from the guy who always tells you that nothing else matters but the story, nothing else ever matters but the story. The story was picture perfect last night. Kofi had a clear shot against the two tag team members, so he's had a very storied history. Let's not forget the bar ended the New Day's record-breaking title run.
Well, it's not like he's not familiar with Rowan either. Like, Rowan was a tag team specialist for...
Absolutely. And Rowan is the heavy for the world champ, so it made sense for Rowan not to give a fuck about the Gauntlet match, just to want to make Kofi lose. So that was wonderful, and Rowan looked good. The Joe thing
and
was surprising.
And they acknowledged the history between Kofi and Randy.
I love that. Yeah. But the best part about the entire situation to me wasn't even the Gauntlet match. It was Kofi. We're calling it Kofi Mania, but it was Kofi. It was Kofi SmackDown, because Miz had a promo and mentioned Kofi and shouted him out. Kevin Owens had a promo and shouted out Kofi. AJ shouted out Kofi.
Well, and the best part of the match for me, honestly and truthfully, going off of that, the best part of the match for me were all the cutaways to the increasingly large portion of the locker room watching him on the monitor and just getting like hype as fuck.
So the beauty of that from an insider baseball situation is that's the company telling you subliminally, this dude actually deserves it, because if all the other wrestlers think he deserves it, then you as a viewer should think he deserves it, which makes you indebted to him that much more. And you feel for him that much more. And it's, again, every small thing matters. The very first group to show up to stand next to to Big E and Xavier Woods was the Usos. And you know what they went through last year together. Or 2017, whatever year it was, when they beat the holy hell out of each other for like 7 months.
What a great feud that was.
One of the best tag team feuds ever.
So good.
Rich said it perfectly on One Nation Radio or one of his columns. He said that was Midnight Express versus Rock and Roll Express 2017, 2018. Damn right it was. So good. It was one of the best tag team feuds ever. So it's telling that their biggest rivals were the first ones to go show up and support Kofi. So that was perfect. And, you know, I think we as fans, sometimes we want our load to be blown too early. We want the positive thing to happen now, when every dramatic medium, whether it's movies, whether it's TV, Thanos killed these people a year ago and we had to wait a year without nothing before we can see what's going to happen. You know, like the drama, dramatic things take a long time before you get some type of resolution, some type of positivity. So you keep dangling the carrot and pulling it back, and dangling the carrot until there's no way you think that the antagonist or protagonist could possibly get past it. And then out of nowhere, he does something crazy. Occupy Raw, the beer truck, the milk truck, the craziest thing to think to get into the situation, and he gets it. So what Kofi and the New Day are going to do to get into this match eventually is going to be memorable and replayed for years to come. And that's what makes this so one. And I guess we can segue to the next part of the story. Big E and Xavier Woods have been just as good as Kofi has. Their promo after the show, first and foremost, the way they responded to everything. And then their promo after the show, looking at Kofi like, look, man, Woods saying, I've been doing it since I was 17. Like, I got a bunch of things I could do with my life, but I'm doing this. They were like, fuck it, let's quit.
Not for nothing, y'all. Yo, not for nothing, y'all. Speaking of that, let us not forget, Xavier Woods has a PhD.
Yeah, he could be out of there in a second.
Xavier Woods has a legitimate, no bullshit PhD, and is an incredibly well respected in the e-gaming community. Yep. Which is becoming increasingly lucrative.
Absolutely.
So, like, Austin can do whatever the fuck Austin want to do. If he want to leave WWE tomorrow, he don't give a fuck.
He wouldn't lose a dime. He'd still make the same amount of money.
Yeah,
and all three of them have degrees. Kofi got three kids. He go like he was telling me, go home to your kids, man. Go to your wife. Why are we doing this? So I want to get into the more controversial part of the story, which is, and I have we have. If you listen to this show, you know that we're, to quote the New Day, we try to be positive and try to see the positivity in all the things. But we're always the show that tries to give it to you real, raw, and honest. But this story has we have to give WWE credit for having, number one, the balls, but having the tact to tell this story so respectfully. You know what I mean? It hasn't gotten too comical. It's rooted in realism. There is a clear path to resolution, but the story I'm talking about is this is very clearly steeped in racist undertones. They keep mentioning that a guy like me or guys like us aren't supposed to be in this spot. Or Byron Saxton, shout out to him for saying something that every black kid has told in their entire life. You're told this when you're 6, 7, 8 years old, when you're getting ready to go to elementary school, middle school, that you have to work twice as hard to get half as far. We've all been told that. So, and Kofi continually having to prove himself and get pulled away because he's not what they want. And Woods and E saying, let's quit, and Kofi saying no, because if I quit, they win, and it makes it worse for everybody else after me. Like, it's so fucking powerful. Carl, how powerful is this shit to you?
Very powerful.
So deep. It cuts him so deep.
First, Kyle has to speak first, so go ahead, Kyle.
No, 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 no. You don't get to weasel out of this one.
No, this is. I was told that I had to listen for everybody else to talk, and then I will speak. So, Kyle, you're a minority. You get to speak first. Go ahead. Second, technically.
Okay, fine. I'll speak. I'm impressed with the level of subtlety that they've been able to use. I'm impressed with how they've used Daniel Bryan in the situation and tried to, like, bring up some of the Yes Movement-esque things to maybe downplay the racial undertones a little bit to keep them just below the surface. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, for people that still don't get it, representation is important in all things. Like, I got to see Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio win WWE titles, and that was fucking phenomenal. That was a great time in my life, and I got to see that. And a lot of people have never gotten to see that. And so, like, if it's not your thing, maybe sit the fuck down and just, like, let other people have some cake, too. Nobody took your cake away. We just kind of sharing it with everybody else.
It's a big cake.
It is. It's a big cake. There's a lot of pieces with lots of frosting.
How big is the cake, Carl?
Cake is big, and here's the thing. I was just fucking with y'all. I was always going to talk about this. I don't know why y'all think I wouldn't talk about this.
No, we just want to lead you in, sir.
A couple things. I haven't, like, you guys may have seen more of this than I have. I haven't seen a lot of people actually, like, upset that they're using the racial undertones in the story. I will say this. I will not name names. I have seen a couple that think it's too much, but that's just, let me give you an idea of what color they are. So
yeah, but Carl, people of that particular color are also masters at not seeing things they don't want to see.
Oh, sure.
So for a lot of people, like, for people who aren't used to being marginalized, those kind of undertones fly right over their heads. All they see is the underdog part. Anybody who's ever been in a minority group, you hear and see the language that they're using, and you're just like, oh, yeah.
Right. Here's the thing, though. I'm with you. The cool thing about this story is it's kind of twofold. Like, if you're not catching what's happening here, you can still be rooting for Kofi and enjoy the shit out of the story because of the way they're telling it, which is why what I've been wanting to say and what I was giving you guys shit about not speaking about this is, in my opinion, the best story WWE has told in for fucking ever. Years. Better than the Daniel Bryan story, in my opinion. Better than CM Punk story, in my opinion. I don't know how far back we have to go. This is the one of the best told, put together, and twofold stories you're ever going to see. And I mean, that's my personal opinion on the story, because everybody can get behind it in some way, shape, or form, even if you aren't catching the racial part of it, right? Like, I wish people would. I wish the people that don't see it could catch it. But even if you aren't, at least you can, like, enjoy it still, you know, because they're doing callbacks to the B-plus player shit. If you like the Daniel Bryan story, you love this, you know what I mean? But this, in my opinion, because of all the layers to it, is the story WWE is told, and I don't know how long. There's very few stories I can think of off the top of my head that I find to be more entertaining than this. And it's why, I know you guys disagree, and that's okay. It's why I've said I personally believe that when this match is finally made, it should main event WrestleMania. Simply for that reason.
I'm starting to come on your side a bit.
So that's it. I mean, I'm not hating on the women. We talked about this, but that's just where I'm at.
I think one thing that also helps is, like, we know this match is going to deliver.
Oh, yeah.
That's two, yeah.
Daniel and Kofi given, like, legitimate time to work with an awesome storyline and, like, a great crowd, and with Rowan and the New Day at ringside. And, like, that match is going to deliver. The floor for that match is, like, 4-star quality.
Yeah, that's the ceiling. Yeah, that's a that's the ceiling. So I asked Ricky and Clive. Ricky and Clive, shout out to my brothers. They on their show today. They did a mailbag and they asked for questions. And the question I asked them was, who had the better road to WrestleMania, babyface underdog road to WrestleMania, Kofi or Bryan? And just off top, that seems ridiculous because Bryan's was from September to fucking Mania. And Kofi's has been not even a month and a half, 2 months, right?
And it's not even finished yet either.
It's not finished.
Yeah. But
I think the difference is that Bryan, remember how that whole thing started? Cena chose Bryan, right? Bryan was always given opportunities. Bryan was, Bryan's a former champion. Bryan was a World Heavyweight Champion twice before that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Famously embarrassed by Sheamus.
100%, 18 seconds. But the story wasn't about Bryan not being good enough. Contrary to belief, the story was about Bryan not fitting into the mold they wanted them to fit in.
Yeah, it wasn't was he good? It was, is he the franchise?
Right. This has become, with Kofi, stay in your place. And not just because, you know, you don't look the part of this, that, and the other, but because you're not what one of us. And it's not one of us in terms of, it's exactly what you think it is. You know? And Bryan never got the opportunities Kofi got in the situation. They didn't say, Bryan, you win this match, you're in this, and they pulled the deck. They didn't do that. They just beat him up every week. They're messing with Kofi. They're playing with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's drastically different. And, you know, I'm not going to shout out the Twitter account by name. Fuck it, yes I am. Voices of Wrestling. These motherfuckers tweeted out today. This WWE stories suck. Oh, if you're gonna do something, just fire Kofi already. Do you not fucking watch wrestling? Do you not get it? Well, if you know, I'm tired of these stories because all Vince has to do is get rid of him and the story's over. Kofi makes some money. He doesn't want to get rid of the money.
Just like Austin.
Just like he said it very very famously in a promo. I hate you, and I want to fire you, but you made too much money. So I'm going to put you where I want to put you, and you're not going to win the title.
But it would make more sense for Kofi to quit than for Vince to fire him.
100%.
So, I mean, that's,
Stephanie said one time to Randy, during the Authority storyline after Randy left, she said that firing you would be too good for you. Because of what we're going to have, what we got planned for you. Firing you would be too easy. So,
that company's committing so many OSHA violations. Human Resources Department must be logged with complaints.
Well, that's why we never see them.
They've been doing this shit for years, man. They've been doing it for years.
And they got somebody in the White House, bro. Nobody cares. So, okay, here's the final question. How does Kofi get into the main event? Because very clearly, anybody with eyes, and even Stevie Wonder, who's not really blind, by the way, could see this shit. So, in your opinion, how do we get from here to the point of the lowest and most pain to WrestleMania and the point of euphoria? What happens?
I mean, they have to hit Vince where it hurts, in the pockets, in the pocket.
Yeah, that too.
So, I mean, I don't. I've heard people say beating down Vince, but Vince likes that shit, so that ain't gonna work. I would say it's more likely the things I've seen. Maybe I don't know about necessarily a protest as much as I guess it would be considered a protest, but more along the lines of, look, there's a lot of superstars on the roster that are going to WrestleMania, maybe. If AJ Styles is like, I ain't wrestling at WrestleMania until you put Kofi in the title match. Well, there goes the Randy Orton match. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think they're going to have to do something along the lines of the people. And there's a reason why they keep having all these people shout them out, you know, and doing all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I think the idea that you could take away matches, The Miz, right? I mean, Shane McMahon has said, I'm demanding you wrestle me at WrestleMania. I'm telling you, you're going to do it. And Miz can just be like, no, I'm fucking not. Put Kofi Kingston in the title match. AJ Styles, no, I'm not wrestling Randy Orton. You know, I mean, all those guys that shouted him out are perfect examples of people just saying, we're going to hit you where it hurts. We're going to fuck up the Super Bowl of wrestling until you give him what he deserves and what he's earned. And I think that's to me, that seems the only logical conclusion, because I don't think it's happening in terms of a match. You know, we know where that's going, right? Even if he had beaten Daniel Bryan, you could expect Vince to be like, well, now you got to beat this man. You know what I'm saying? So I don't foresee that. That's what I would say is going to happen.
Kyle?
I got nothing.
Okay.
And so, that's a good thing that you have nothing, though. It's good, because at least we don't know. It makes you want to tune in, right?
Well,
I got nothing.
So I have another idea, but I wanted to kind of hone in on your point, Carl. So first and foremost, back in the day, I want to say it was 97, 98. No, later than that, 99 to 2000, because Triple H was in power. Triple H fired Mick Foley. And on Raw, the entire roster came to the ring and said, we quit until you rehire Mick Foley. So I can see something like that happening. But in a way that's more similar to Occupy Raw that Brian did to get into the main event of WrestleMania 30. And I say that, I bring that up because can you see the irony of the New Day getting everybody to stand with them and hold the show hostage until Vince does what's right by Kofi? And Brian coming out and saying, how selfish do you have to be to shut down the whole show to get what you want? Can you see the irony of that?
Absolutely.
Brance, how dare you accuse the planet's champion
You're right.
of committing such a heinous act?
You're right. I feel so disgusting, like I just ate a pork chop or something.
That man brought us a sustainable title belt.
Not for much longer.
You're right. That thing's about to get smoked.
That man taught Eric Rowan how to cut an effective promo.
I don't know if he taught him that. That's kind of hard to do.
Give him credit. We're going to give him credit.
The other idea, I've heard a couple of different areas, and I thought it myself, but I want to give credit to the person who explained it the best. Busted open, Bully Ray said it, but what if you put Kofi through the Andre? Kofi's most known for being in the Royal Rumble. And you force Kofi to have to go through the Andre on the pre-show, which gets eyes on the pre-show, to get the chance to get in the main event. And that's his final last thing. And you know Braun's in the Andre, so you can have him and Braun or him and Owens. You can make a thing of it, if you will. The only reason I don't think that'll work is because what you said, Carl, there's a reason that they keep showing that everybody in the damn show is behind him.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. Like, like Miz is talking about how much he loves his daddy and his daddy don't love him and crying and talking about how he can't believe that he did this. And then he stops in the middle and says, oh, yeah, and you can't control Kofi either. Like, they're going out of their way to shout Kofi out. So very clearly something is happening.
It's got to be. I mean, it doesn't have to be. They could do whatever the fuck they want. But, I mean, yeah. That's the best way to hit, to piss off someone with a lot of money is to take money away from them. So the best way to do that is to say there ain't going to be no WrestleMania. I mean, there'll be a WrestleMania, but it won't be all the matches you want it to be. Granted, there's like 50 on the card anyway, so but maybe it's not that big of a deal. But you get my point.
We're going to get to that. But, Mr. Morse, speaking of Mr. Mizanin,
yo, man, fucking A, Mike the Miz, with the excellent fucking face promo of the year.
Of his career.
Of his career for sure. Like, I have been on record as being very, very questionable about Miz as a face, because I love Miz as a heel, and I thought Miz as a heel was just like perfect character for him, and I have been very vocally dismissive of that. But that promo that they cut on Tuesday, when he was talking about how that, I lost words. Shut up, Carl. Shut up, Carl.
Of course, did nothing. Did not say anything.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just this.
I told you I blame Carl for everything that goes wrong. No, but where Miz was cutting that promo and he was talking about what happened with Shane, and he was talking about what happened with his dad, and he was talking about all of the reasons why, you know, all I could think as he was talking is Mike Mizanin is such a likable person and has always been an incredibly likable person. I've said this before. I grew up in that MTV Real World generation. I watched Miz as during all of that shit. And he is just a genuinely nice, genuinely interesting, genuinely cool person. And he is so incredibly likable. And that promo really allowed you to see that in a way that came across way more authentic than any of that ham shit that he was doing with the co-besties.
I just want to say that that promo proves that Shane McMahon is the best in the world, because it took Shane to get Miz
over the face. He's the best doing coke.
Thank you for that. It took Shane to get Miz over as a face. Shane's the best in the world.
Yeah, I don't have just a ton to add to it, because everybody here knows I'm a huge Miz mark anyway. But like, it was a nice reminder for people that sometimes forget, and we get caught up in people who cut great promos like Samoa Joe and people like that. It's just at least in my opinion, it's a reminder that Mike the Miz is the best promo in the WWE, in my opinion. And I say that because I haven't seen Joe cut a face promo in a long time. That's but true. Miz can do both, apparently, and he can do them both really, really fucking well. Not easy to do. Not an easy feat, especially when Miz has been a heel like his whole career for the most part. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think Kevin Owens might rival him, but like,
sure,
it's real close. Real close.
Well, Kevin Owens single-handedly got me reinvested in Becky and Charlotte for like 30 seconds.
Until Becky did stuff, and then I was not invested anymore. But yes,
Kevin Owens did what Kevin Owens does best. He stole the segment that he was in.
He stirred shit up, is what he did.
His eyes on the prize.
So here's the question:
KO maybe.
I think we would, us three here would all agree that Miz is a Hall of Famer for sure, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, best Intercontinental Champion of all time.
Ooh, that's a conversation.
Yeah, I said it. I said it. Fuck you, honky tonk man. Yeah, Jericho. I said it.
Jericho?
Yeah, I said it.
Ooh, that's a conversation to have. Write that down. The question about Miz in the Hall of Fame is Miz a headline Hall of Famer? There you go. That's a better question.
Well, you know what? Okay, we'll put it this way.
Depends on the class.
Yeah, it does. But how many Grand Slam champions have not headlined in the Hall of Fame?
It's probably a couple. Macho Man didn't headline his.
Okay. I mean, I know there's a couple. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there are.
I'll give you one.
Real quick. To be fair, Macho Man didn't headline this because he's not here.
I'll give you a Grand Slam champion who won't headline their Hall of Fame class. My boy Jeff Hardy ain't headlining his Hall of Fame class.
I don't know.
I love my boy, but he ain't headlining.
I don't know. Because if the Hardy boys could headline his tag team.
Maybe.
But I'm just thinking off the top of my head, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't also don't know how many Grands. I don't know all the Grand Slam champions.
There's not a ton,
but I'm sure a lot of them are in the Hall of Fame. So I'm interested. I'd be interested to see how many of them have gotten in and didn't headline. I think he's headline worthy. I think he could headline. Yes. However, depending on who they decide to put in there as well, you know, got to think about his era when he retires. And that's hard to say, you know. So I think he's capable of headlining. Yes. I'll say that much. You know, it'd be a damn good speech. So
I'm gonna starting from last year, I'm gonna name the headliner going back. Okay.
Okay.
Goldberg headlined last year. Kurt Angle the year before. Sting the year before that. They say it was Macho Man the year before that. I'm looking at Wikipedia, but Nash got the last conversation, last promo, because he's alive. That's the only reason. Like, the world knows, even Nash acknowledges that that was Savage's.
Right.
His time. Warrior the year before that. Excuse me. Bruno the year before that. Edge the year before that. Shawn Michaels the year before that. Ted DiBiase the year before that. Speaking of years, this is 2010 now. The year before that, 2009 is Stone Cold. 2008 is Ric Flair. 2007 is Dusty Rhodes. 2006, it's Bret Hart. 2005, it's Terry Bollea. I'm not saying his other name. And so 2005 was the first year they really had a
ceremony?
Not a ceremony, but
a headliner.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you the list of Hall of Famers who are Grand Slam champions who were not part of the names that you just said. Eddie Guerrero was not one of them names you just said. Booker T was not one of them names you just said. Bradshaw's not in the Hall of Fame, right?
No, not yet.
No. Did you say Edge was a headliner?
Edge was the headliner, yeah.
Okay, so Edge is the only one of the people that you said that
Yokozuna
were that headlined their class.
Yokozuna. Was he a Grand Slam champion?
Not under the original format for the Grand Slam, apparently.
He was a tag team champ. He was a world champ. Did he win a mid-card title?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, well, that's fair. And Roddy Piper was everything else but world champ.
Yeah.
This is a damn good question.
So who did Eddie Guerrero go in with?
I'm about to tell you now. Eddie went in with... And Scott Hall would have been one, had to give him a damn title.
Oh, Scott.
Eddie went in 2006 with Bret Hart, Gene Okerlund, Sensational Sherry, Vern Gagne, Tony Atlas, the Blackjacks, and William Refrigerator Perry.
Well, man, that's a perfect example of like why, if you take Bret Hart out of that equation, Eddie Guerrero said in line of that. So I think that's kind of a perfect example of why the class matters.
Because there are guys Guerrero who was also a posthumous.
Right.
Guerrero was also a posthumous induction.
True.
Well, but also to that point, they always have they're so clever with the way they do it. They book it like a card. They have a main eventer, a mid carder. They got some filler. They have a top level woman. They got filler. They got a tag team. They got a celebrity. So I mean, like, think about 2007, Dusty Rhodes main events, right? You got Henning and Lawler and Bockwinkel in the mid card. You got Sheik, Jim Ross, and Mr. Fuji. And then you got the Wild Samoans as your tag team. You know what I mean? Like, they book it like a show.
I think the one thing about The Miz is unless he wins a couple more world titles, I think it'll be tough for him to headline.
But he main evented WrestleMania and won.
He did. I kind of get that feeling, like, because he's more known for his Intercontinental Championship reigns, that you could see him being like that second to last guy. You know what I mean? It depends on the class, once again. I mean, if he goes in the same time John Cena goes in, what do you think is going to happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that's just
sooner than later, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. Shit. So, I'll go on record now saying I think he wrestles fewer than five matches in the next couple years.
That's a good – write that down. That's another conversation. Okay.
We've written none of this down.
I think he's phasing it out, y'all. I think he's phasing it out.
I think right now John is like Batista. Wrestling is in his blood. Maybe not you know, historically, but like it's been his life for so long. He loves the business. I think he just realizes right now he had to pull what Batista and Rocky did, and that I need to ingratiate myself in this Hollywood shit and show them I'm serious and get to a certain level of status before I can come back and give the respect I want to give. Because I don't think John is happy just coming back doing one-offs and leaving. That's not what he when he was there, he lived that hustle, loyalty, respect shit. He lived that I'm gonna go to every show. I'm gonna go to every small. I make every town. I make every appearance. Every make a wish. Now he's flying in to do the show and flying back out, and I don't think he likes that.
I would agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that not being a fun thing to have to deal with.
So, I want to I asked you guys this question in our text message earlier when we were talking about topics, but I really want to get you guys' opinion. And so, for those of you listening, this all stems around Braun Strowman. So, as of now, Braun Strowman is booked in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, Memorial Battle Royal. This is his second time in the past 2 years being in this. In 33, he was in the Battle Royal, and then 35 he will be. And last year, he wrestled with a kid to beat the bar for the World Tag Championship. So Braun Strowman, who's essentially been one of the major parts of WWE television consistently for the past 3-4 years, has never had a singles match at WrestleMania. For a lot of people, that's a big deal. Dolph Ziggler talks about it all the time, how he's been there forever. Multiple world champion, did everything there is to do. He's never had one. So my question to you guys was, and this ought to be an interesting conversation between us, because while we are similar in a lot of our thoughts, we differ on this, I think. I know that wrestling fans tend to be wrestling-centric. We're in our own bubble. But what's a bigger move, not just for Braun Strowman, but for any wrestler who's not going to be in a marquee match in WrestleMania? What's the bigger and the best and biggest move you can do or you can have? Have just a regular mid-card singles match? Just a regular mid-card singles match. Think Big Show and Cody Rhodes, or think Cody and Rey Mysterio or something like that. Or getting the celebrity spot with actual mainstream cross-promotion. What's the bigger spot for a star?
I think that depends on your goal as a performer. If your goal as a performer is to perform in the ring, then the match may be more meaningful to you. If your individual goal as a performer is to, like, be this big character person and, like, get your character more out there and maybe transition into some kind of mainstream something or other, then the celebrity spot is probably more meaningful to you. I think it all really depends on what your individual goal is as a performer.
Right, but I'm not thinking from the guise of the performer. I'm thinking under the guise of just the spot in general. So the main event of WrestleMania has been romanticized as the biggest thing you could do, right? Punk left because of it. I think right underneath that has always been facing Undertaker at WrestleMania, then world titles, right? Like, there are a list of accomplishments in wrestling that, in WWE wrestling, let me fix that, that one, like, you're next here, right? Hall of Fame is the biggest, but, like, main event at WrestleMania is the biggest thing you could do in WWE lore. That's it. Miz has lived off that for a decade, right? But my question is, take away what the performer wants. Just when somebody retires and you're laying their epitaph, I'm not trying to be morbid, but just their list of accomplishments out. What is the bigger, better accomplishment? Oh, we had this match at WrestleMania that was a singles mid-card match, but it was low on the card. Or he had a celebrity spot with cross-promotion mainstream. That's what I mean. Because I'm sure most wrestlers would say the match. I get that.
I think most wrestling fans would say the match, because that's what we care about.
Sure.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's, but you're asking wrestling fans. But with Braun especially, I think the celebrity spot is much more meaningful. I think it depends on, I really do, like he said, it kind of depends on the person. Because with Braun especially, like, a fucking mid-card match doesn't do anything for Braun at this point.
And these Braun stands need to, like, let it go, y'all. Like, Braun's momentum died a few months ago. And, he did. Like, let sure. it go.
But he deserves a fucking singles match on
WrestleMania
for once.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he doesn't. No, I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying, like, these people who are just, like, up in arms about it, like, chill the fuck out.
And from my perspective, the bigger spot is the celebrity spot. However, I think he should be in a singles match. Personally, I don't know who it would be. I just, you know, you can get there. You know, it's too late now, obviously. But, I mean, I feel like it is at least. But, I mean, I go back. I think about these celebrity spots that we've had in the past. Uh-huh. And I don't remember a lot of them. And I'm a wrestling fan, though, right? But also, I mean, I know I keep up with things that go on in pop culture and mainstream. I know who Michael Che and Colin Jost are. I mean, I know who Snooki is. You know, they've had Drew Carey, right?
And
they've
Lawrence had Taylor main evented WrestleMania.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a long time ago. But what I'm saying is, like,
okay, Floyd Mayweather is more recent. How about that?
Okay. Yeah. But like,
Mikey Bono.
Okay. See, what you're having to do right now is you're having to remind me because I can't remember. But I don't think that's would be any different than if Braun Strowman had a regular singles match versus Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. I don't know that I would remember that much either. I don't remember much about WrestleManias except the shit that really, really, really stands out. Main events, hot openers, things like that. Big moments. Mid-card match, not a big moment. Celebrity spot, to me, not that big a deal. However, I do think, to your point, Braun deserves the singles match. But I also think that the bigger spot for him right now is probably the celebrity spot.
And that's why I'm asking the question, because I realize it's really hard to separate yourself from something and look at it from outside of yourself. But I don't want to look at it from Braun's perspective or a wrestler's perspective because we know the answer. I don't want to look at it from a wrestling fan's perspective because we know the answer. What I'm saying is ultimately, and if you say this, I'm not trying to lead anybody because obviously my answer is the celebrity spot. But I'm not trying to lead anybody, so I don't want you to think that if you think that, I'm sorry. But when a wrestler is done, when Braun Strowman retires, let's say, God forbid, he has to retire sometime next year. Or he says he's done. He gets a major movie deal and he's done. At the end of his career, what would have been the first thing you said? What would have been laid out first? Second match of WrestleMania with Bobby Lashley? I don't know anybody, or had a all night segments with Michael Che and Colin Jost, and went on Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live and chokeslammed Jost to the table.
No, I would agree with that.
I'm not gonna necessarily dispute that. I'm gonna say if we're carving Braun's like career epitaph, my first thing is gonna be, remember the time he tipped over the fucking ambulance, followed by. Remember that time he pulled down the set of Raw, followed by. Remember that time he threw a chair like a lawn dart across the fucking ring to Roman.
So but see, what you're saying right there, though,
I bring up.
But what you're saying right there is that none of that stuff was like match; it was moment.
That's why
the celebrity spot is bigger because it's going to be it's Colin Jost and Braun Strowman aren't going to have a one-on-one scene. I mean, I don't know; they fucking might. But
Jost is crazy enough to do that.
Right, but
all I'm saying is Jost is gonna have to take an insane bump for that segment to rank on my list of Braun crazy shit.
So you're telling me that number one isn't him winning the Saudi Arabia championship?
No, surprisingly, it's not number one.
Winning the greatest Royal Rumble ever.
I don't like.
No, can I be honest? Final, as fucked up as the moment itself was, before he tipped over the ambulance, my honest number one Braun moment is when he just tipped Roman's stretcher over and just like left him for dead.
The entire Roman beatdown. The entire Roman beatdown was like that was almost.
Oh, that was honestly, like
Booker
y'all?
T in the supermarket, hilarious.
I'm telling you, when Roman finally wins the title back, which we know will happen eventually, I'm waiting for the Braun heel turn. Just he won't do anything. You'll just all of a sudden hear the microphone.
I'm not finished with
you. I'm not finished with you.
I'm here for it. That's one of my favorite feuds of the last couple of years anyway, was Braun and Roman.
They complement each other.
Legit question for you guys. Roddy Piper is one of the greatest of all time, right? Mm-hmm. What's your first
it
memory?
It still grinds my gears that he never won a title. I know he didn't want it, but it just still grinds my gears.
What's the first thing you think about when you think of Roddy Piper at WrestleMania?
I don't have a ton of memories from Roddy Piper with WrestleMania. Was it coconut stuff? Probably. I don't know.
No. So
the coconut wasn't at WrestleMania. The coconut is the first thing I think of when I think of Roddy Piper.
Right. Yeah, me too. Yeah, okay. I don't know.
For me, it's him doing Piper's Pit with Morton Downey Jr. spraying him with the damn fire extinguisher.
I vaguely remember that.
Now, Roddy Piper was the main event of WrestleMania 1. Roddy Piper was one of the main events of WrestleMania 2 when he fought Mr. T in the boxing match.
I was going to say Mr. T.
Roddy Piper wrestled Bad News Brown when he painted half his body black. Roddy Piper had the match with Goldust, the backlight brawl, when they used the OJ footage. Roddy Piper wrestled Bret Hart in a 15-minute great Intercontinental title match. He's had great moments, but the first thing you think of is him spraying a celebrity with a fire extinguisher. But on
the flip side, when we're talking about moments can occur in a match too. The first thing I think of, I mentioned Jeff Hardy before. The first thing I think of when I think of WrestleMania and Jeff Hardy is Edge spearing him off the title belt.
Yeah, but that's one of the greatest moments of ever.
It is. You're right. It is.
You're right.
The point I'm making is that moments are what we remember, and moments can also happen.
Yes.
In matches.
Shawn Michaels. I'm sorry. I love you to Ric Flair.
Yeah. It all at the end of the day, no matter what, for a moment to happen, all depends on the performers executing that moment, whether it's the celebrity spot or a match. Moments can happen. It's just a matter of how is it performed. You know, we saw a moment that I don't think any of us were expecting a couple takeovers ago with the "I absolve you of your sins" thing. Like, Ooh. Nobody saw that coming.
But that's Black a fucking can't talk.
That's a fucking moment. Just the whole visual of it all. Like, that's a fucking moment. So moments can happen in both. It's just a matter of executing.
But Aleister Black can't talk, though.
Well, he can't, but that's just, you know.
Six whatever. Words.
Did you really count that, you bastard?
Yeah, I did. I can say six words.
I hate both of you so much. So, okay. So, we're speaking of moments. We're speaking of Mania. Over, under on how many matches WrestleMania is going to have.
I'll set the over-under. Let's make it a reasonable number to make it hard. I'm going to set the over-under at 12.
Over.
What's your over-under?
I would set it at about 15, probably.
I would set it right at 15, too. So,
okay.
So, man, I feel like I know your answers because I know you guys so fucking much. We talk every damn day. But I'm really curious to know, and I want to put it on wax, but what are your thoughts on the thought process of getting everybody on the card and so many fucking matches on the card? Because you realize, like, it is going crazy on social. People are losing their minds. What do you think?
I'm of two minds on it, in the sense that as a teacher of history, I'm generally pro-labor because, like, the history of the world is the history of workers being shit on by the people they work for. So, like, I'm generally pro-labor, and I'm generally pro-everybody getting a paycheck and everybody getting a big bonus. And I know that appearing on WrestleMania is a big bonus. But I'm also of the opinion that if you give everybody a WrestleMania match, it cheapens the accomplishment.
The luster, like, of it, if you will.
Like, if within the industry, like, and I'm talking about it in a professional sense, if within the industry it's seen as a professional accomplishment by the wrestlers, which all of them will generally tell you that, yeah, having a match at WrestleMania is a fucking accomplishment that they, like, wanted, or they wouldn't have done what they do, like, if that's seen as an accomplishment, then, like, it shouldn't just be given to everybody just because you're on the roster.
Yeah, it becomes not an accomplishment. It just becomes a thing that you do.
Exactly. It's just another work event.
So yeah, I mean, I'll put it this way. I went to last year's WrestleMania. I can't remember. I think there were 14 matches total.
There were
counting the two battle royals.
We looked it up last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we looked it up last week. 14.
14. That started at 4 o'clock. And we left about 11. All right. I can hang in there. And I had a good time while I was there. I don't think the live crowd's gonna be that much of an issue. You can wear out. You do wear out. There are matches. I mean, I planned my piss breaks accordingly. I got up and took a piss break during the Hall of Fame segment because, well, I saw the Hall of Fame. I don't need to re-see them waving to everybody. I don't care about that. So I used the bathroom then. I used the bathroom during, I think maybe during the U.S. title match last year. I picked my spots. But 7-8 hours is a slog to get through. And it's even more of a slog at home, I think. Because if you're comfortable in your chair and you got your chips and your beer and your pizza and whatever, at some point your ass might fall asleep. You know,
ain't no because, might.
Yeah,
ain't no might.
I feel like I have a very comfortable couch. I fall asleep on that. I get sleepy on my couch very easily. So like, if I'm watching that shit on my couch, I can fall asleep fast. And I'm kind of with you. Like, I feel like
show it me a grown it. Man. Show me a grown ass man who don't fall asleep within 30 minutes of putting his feet up. And I will show you a grown ass man who has figured out life.
I'm just saying, like, this is a whole, man, it's a lot to get through. And I think the major problem people have with it is not even so much the fact, I think they veil it with the length of the card and stuff. But I think it's more about the fact that you're going to have 15 matches. And a lot of them are going to have, if you're not invested in all 15, it's just hard in general to get behind it. You know what I mean? And odds are you're not going to be invested in all 15. You know? I mean, I know I'm not. But
definitely not.
But I also know that I can say, you know what? I don't really care about this that much. So I'm going to take a little break. You know? I'm going to go outside and have some air. Just whatever. You know, do something else for a second. I can do that.
So, naturally, I disagree.
Shock.
I know it's a shock, right?
The system.
Shout out to our other brother, Rob Daniels. If they had it 24 hours, I'd watch it all. I love that shit. You made an interesting argument, Kyle, that made me really question my theory and my feelings. Your theory that wrestlers consider wrestling a match at WrestleMania as an accomplishment. And if everybody has the same accomplishment, nobody has an accomplishment. That's a damn good point. My counter to that is this. Things change with the era in which you're in. I believe that there was an era pre-network that gave that wrestling a match on WrestleMania was a real accomplishment because everybody didn't get the opportunity. I feel like now that everybody does get the opportunity, the accomplishment is to wrestle a match in the main card. Okay? Because everybody gets the matches with all the spots are normally on the pre-show. Normally for USA, for YouTube, Facebook, trying to get people to get more eyes on the show, which, for those of you listening, more people watch the pre-show than watch WrestleMania. That's a fact. So I can understand that, and that would be my offset for that. But I also, number one, I it's funny that us as wrestling fans were criticizing everybody getting the paycheck. You said that, but that's essentially what we're doing. But more than that, I think that we are in an era with... So first and foremost, we're in an era naturally with where we're cutting the cord. We have the power is in our hands in terms of what we want to watch. You know, if you don't want to watch cable, then you can go get Hulu TV or PlayStation View or whatever, this or that, and pick the channels you want to watch. Like, you have the ability to choose...
Soon we will lose all choice, and we will just directly give money to our Disney overlords.
Yeah, that's about 20 years away. Maybe less.
I was going to say, 20 is being generous. The Disney takeover has begun.
Thanos is going to snap, and all of a sudden, all cable is gone. But yeah, we have more choice than ever. And I think that coinciding with the digital wave of the wrestling era, Network, New Japan World, Honor Club, all those other things, has led to the ability for the viewer or the consumer to simply say, if I don't give a shit about this match, I'm not going to watch it. I think I look at what they're doing with their pay-per-view cards, like what UFC does with their cards. We're going to put on all the matches we need to put on, all the best fights. If you don't watch the prelims, somebody will.
Shit, the prelims have way better matches than the main cards.
Well, the prelims have more action, so you're absolutely right.
That's what I'm saying. The prelim fights are way more interesting.
Right, but I think with the choice, so first and foremost, and Platt, my co-host on Chairshot Radio, says this very often. He says that the reason the business is more important than what happens in the ring is because once they get, they got your money by the time the match happens. They got your money. Your $9.99 is paid for. Your ticket is paid for by the time the show starts. So they got the money, number one. So you have the option to do what you want. Watch it when you want, how you want, whatever, number one. But number two, I think the ideology is they don't expect us to watch. They give us so much content because they don't expect us to watch it all. They give us so much content so we can pick and choose what we want. And by us picking and choosing what we want, that ultimately is how they pick and choose who gets the certain spots they deserve to get. Many people for years were trying to figure out, well, why is Roman on the top? Well, look at all his YouTube segments. Look at his merch sales. Like the things that we still have that are tangible, he's the top at. Ronda's the top at. Becky, over the past 6 months, has become the top hat.
Kofi done been the top hat because the New Day done been top merch sellers, dog.
Speak on it, dog. Speak on it.
Done been.
And they had to figure out a way.
For years.
Speak on it.
Well, then that's why Kofi will go on the Hall of Fame as a member of the New Day. Vince already told y'all this.
With his two young bucks.
Planting the seats for that breakup, by the way.
Oh, dog. E's promo was excellent today, and it's all the more better when he turns on him the night of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Say that, but when it's Xavier Woods, I'm going to be like, yo, I told y'all Woods the breakout star.
I'm good with either one of them. Both of them deserve it. All three of them deserve singles pushes. But to kind of finish my point so we can kind of get back to some more dialogue, if there is a 17-match card, we need to change our thought process. That's the problem with fans. We don't change our thought process. We expect them to change everything. But when they change, we don't change with them. So if there's 17 matches, dog, watch the 10 you want. Watch the 5.
I just said that.
Yeah, but can I tell you a difference between UFC that you brought up earlier and WWE?
Go ahead.
WWE will announce the card in terms of what matches you're going to see ahead of time. But they won't tell you what the card order is going to be. And so if you're someone who wants to watch it night of and you want to pick and choose your matches that you're going to watch, you don't necessarily know when those matches are going to happen. And if I tune out for like 20 minutes because I'm not interested in Drew McIntyre or anything that he's doing, and I tune back and I've missed the beginning of the U.S. title match, which I am interested in, I'm going to be upset.
So that's fair, but the retort to that is, number one, UFC doesn't do it either. They just tell you what the main and the co-mains are for both shows, for the main card and the prelim. But in terms of, like, in order, it's not in order. The second thing is, we're in the age of the digital world. Forgive me if I don't mean to talk down to anybody. So forgive me for saying what I'm going to say if this doesn't pertain to you. I'm sorry. But I don't know very many people that don't have a DVR. It's almost standard now.
You don't need that with the WWE if you're watching on the network anyway. You can just pause,
right,
take a 20-minute break, come back, and then forward, right, through, whatever.
But I'm even thinking, say, if it's a Raw. You know? Yeah. But yeah, the WrestleMania, like, it's video on demand. So if you see it and you skipped and you see if Roman versus Drew is on, you don't want to watch that, so you skip that, you leave the room, whatever, and you come back and they're 5 minutes into the Samoa Joe Rey Mysterio match, rewind a few minutes.
Man, you're asking me to do too much.
So I, okay, you disagree with me, so I'm a little mad at you because I said that I will just tune out of what I don't want to watch and come back to what I will. Like, there's no way I will probably watch the whole card because I've got problems. But like, you know, it's in all honesty.
Oh, I'll watch most of it.
I'm a regular fan who doesn't want to see, like, for me personally, what's something I don't care about on the show? Baron Corbin, Kurt Angle, right? I don't really care about that match. So I don't think it's going to last that long anyway, but when it's time for that match to start, I'll just hit pause or not watch or whatever. I'll be with buddies anyway, so they may be like, hey, man, they're about to start the next match if you don't want to. You know what I mean?
My disagreement with Baron
Corbin, the Baron Corbin shade has gotten out of control.
Well, hold on. We'll talk about that in just a second. Real fast, to finish this, my disagreement with you was only that I know you'll do that because that's how you are, much like I know Kyle doesn't care about a certain wrestler, so he's not going to watch it. What I'm employing the universe to do, all of us to do, is to change the way we think about how we consume wrestling. So not to bitch about the number of matches we have, watch the number of matches you want. And not just it be a personal decision. Let that be the way you consume it in general. That's the disagreement. But we got to talk Baron Corbin for a second. That wasn't on the list. But,
No, the Baron Corbin shade has gotten out of fucking control, and I don't understand the vitriol. Like, I'm not even a Corbin fan, and I don't understand the level of vitriol.
Well, this is the part of the show where I hate this, but I have to say that to chairshot.com, we have a shirt that says Baron Corbin sucks. We sell it on ProWrestlingTees.com.
I don't understand that either.
So buy the shirt under protest because it's false advertising. To your point, dog, people hate Baron Corbin because they don't like the things that they say they like. What I mean by that is, wrestling fans always say that they want storytelling, they want logic, they want things to make sense. Baron Corbin isn't the flippy-dippy Olympic floor routine guy. Who wrestled
just say Ricochet.
He has wrestled 17 years in the Indies.
And, just say Ricochet.
And has a moveset from hell. He's not Ricochet, yes. So people want to hate him because his wrestling style is different and his whole gimmick is just getting heat with the fans. And there's a big support. There's a big portion of fans who don't care about that shit. They just care about what you do inside them ropes.
Yeah, but you know what? But you know what really pisses me off, though? Those same group of fans give Elias a fucking pass. At least Corbin gets in the damn ring. At least Corbin has matches. They don't even let Elias wrestle. They don't even let him wrestle.
And when they do, who is he wrestling? No Way Jose?
No Way Jose. Because that's how limited Elias is in the ring.
Jose, no way.
But no, Jose, he no gets a pass. Way. Yeah, Elias is a heat magnet. I'm not saying he's not. Elias is a heat magnet. But I'm just saying, like, the same people that are like, I hate Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin's the worst thing ever. Meh. Are like, oh, I want to walk with Elias. Yay. And it's bullshit.
That's a damn good point I never thought about. Go ahead,
so No, you're fine. My whole beef with the—I don't actually have a beef with the match. I'm just—I've told y'all this. I've said this. I think I just don't want to see Angle. Like, I know
this sounds terrible. I have no desire to see Kurt right now.
Like, I've said this many times. He looks like the letter S right now, and I can't. First of all,
he's the real life Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Right. I feel like this match is specifically designed for Baron Corbin to get even more heat because. If the match goes through, which I still think it will, despite what people trying to protest or whatever the hell, if the match still happens as planned, card subject to change, as we all know. If it happens, I do think that Baron Corbin is going to win, because I feel like the whole thing is a vehicle to get him major heat. And I don't think Angle's one of those guys that's going to be like, I got to win on my way out. I'd be shocked. If Angle wins, then he's not leaving.
I won't be shocked if that's the result. I'm just going to be really worried about Curdy Moto's health if he takes the end of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's been your show. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you another time. Curdy Moto.
If he takes the end of the day, then I'll be worried about him.
I don't think it's – well, the thing is, Baron is pretty safe, so I don't even worry about it. Like, Baron is a good rep.
I'm not saying Baron's not safe. I'm not saying I'd be scared of him because Baron's not safe. I'd be afraid because Kurt is, like, fragile.
But this goes back to the whole Baron Corbin hate. What is it that people don't like exactly? He is a good wrestler.
He's not Ricochet.
He has one of the best movesets in the WWE. He's got two of the coolest looking fucking moves in all of wrestling. Deep Six and End of Days are cool as shit. Those are cool moves. Like, his character is exactly what his character... I honestly kind of wish they would go back a little bit to the NXT days when he was just shitting on the indie guys.
Liked him better on SmackDown.
But yeah, but I just think...
Oh, that's a shock.
Well, I mean, I'm only a little bit atrociously biased in favor of SmackDown.
This is just people getting worked because Baron's character is unfucking likable.
I'm too smart to get worked. I don't get worked. I know everything because Uncle Dave tells me.
Yep.
First mention of Uncle Dave. Let it be the last. But yeah, that's correct.
Uncle Dave.
I don't get the Baron Corbin hate, man. I don't. And listen, you're entitled to your opinion, but at least make some fucking sense. He sucks? At what? At what exactly?
Well, speaking of sense, so what I don't understand is, first and foremost, Kurt, we need to quit this fallacy that Kurt Angle's as big a star as we want to make him out to be. He's not anymore.
And he never was, and he never was as big a star as people are making him out to be. He was an also-ran in an era of giants.
I disagree with that.
Wait, hold on. Who are y'all talking about? Paying attention.
Kurt Angle.
You just said what, Kyle?
He also ran in an era of giants.
I think Kurt was neck and neck with maybe... Kurt wasn't on that rock...
That I'm triggered that right rock now.
Austin level.
Carl's been gaslit.
Angle was right there with Hunter, with Jericho, with Kane, with Foley.
Man.
Just hold on. You know what? No, go ahead.
That's okay. Oh, my God, Carl. Yeah, it's okay.
Jesus Christ. Kyle.
I'm recording the Skype, by the way, so we have the video.
Jesus. Kyle, come on. You're trolling me, right? Like, you're trolling. You don't really believe that, what you just said. There's no way you can believe that. I need to make sure he's not just fucking with me first before I even consider.
Oh, my God. Oh, Kurt was a second-tier star.
Ah. So that's... Where is the president when I need him to hit us with a fake news? Because that is false. Like... Kurt Angle is like, he was the perfect, he's the perfect wrestler, period.
I didn't say he wasn't good. Listen, what does him being good have to do with him being a second tier star?
If you're the perfect wrestler, you have it all, do it all, you have all the accomplishments, you are not second tier. I'm sorry. He had huge angles with Austin, Rock.
Right. You name him. But he's still second tier. He had big angles with them. Well, he was never the big angle.
Hold on. Who is second tier with Angle? Who's in that same tier with him?
Who's in that same tier? Who would I put in that same tier? Yes. I'm no bullshit. I would put Hunter in that tier with him. Hunter is always a bridesmaid, never the bride. Other than like the
McCann champion. Shit. Okay, but hold on. I agree with him because the first tier is Rock and Austin. We consider them the best ever.
Yeah, when I say first tier, I'm talking like that Mount Rushmore level of fucking performer. Like Rock and Austin and Cena and like that guy whose name we don't say because Terry. Yeah, I'm talking those guys. And then tier two is still fucking Hall of Fame level.
You're right, but that's not what you said, like, Kyle.
A legend.
You're right. Roman also ran.
Yeah, you said
and
he was
also ran. No, you called him also ran for two of the best of all time.
No, but that's not what you. That's not how you led it. You said he was also ran in a land full of giants. You made him sound like he was Scotty Too Hotty, bro.
My feelings are hurt. Okay,
be hurt.
I'm hurt. Triggered. I'm all the things.
Be triggered.
Oh my god.
I don't even know if we should continue with this segment anymore, and just move on.
It's okay. Kyle's entitled to his wrong ass opinion. Let's.
At no point did I ever say I dislike Kurt Angle.
If anybody says that, they're lying.
Kurt Angle is responsible for one of my favorite spots of all time when he threw Shane through that fucking King of the Ring set.
That's my favorite match ever, by the way.
That's one of my favorite matches ever.
That's because Shane's one of the best. Shane's the best in the world.
He's the best. He's been in the best in the world since he was born. He told you that.
Yo, man, I mean, if you do enough cocaine, anything is possible.
Well, you think he was doing it back then, too?
I mean, not as bad now, but I'm sure probably. From what I've heard, old man McMahon has been known to not shy away from the nose candy, so I'm sure...
Why do you think he don't Shano, sleep?
I'm sure Shano has dabbled early in life.
I just want to put a bow on the Corbin Kurt thing. The hypocrisy of people being upset that Kurt didn't wrestle Cena or Rock or Taker or any of those guys. It's Corbin. It's hilarious because in the same breath you want those guys to wrestle Kurt, but then in the next breath you hate part timers. So what is it? Help me understand so I'm on the same page.
Rince, I only want the part timers that I like.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, your part-timers for this episode of As the Wrestling World Turns are Paul Levesque and Dave Bautista.
Do we like those part-timers? Uncle Dave hasn't told me how to feel.
Well, also, I will say this, though. You don't want part-timers. I get it. Stop fucking popping for them every time they show up.
True.
Brock Lesnar on Monday Night Raw had the biggest reaction of the night.
True.
Right off the bat.
Facts.
I don't like it that much either. Like, I could do without Beth Copeland coming back. I could do without, I could never do without a Triple H match. But, I could do without Kurt Angle. I could do without, just that and the other. But
for the record, we need to change our thought process on what a part-timer is. Triple H had a part-timer when he's on the show every Monday.
Right.
Is that a part-timer?
Isn't a part-timer when he owns the company.
Right, people are saying Shane is a part-timer. Shane's on the show more than half the wrestlers.
Shane has wrestled a lot in the last year, but I think they're just saying like part-time from the actual in-ring. It goes back to the same crap, They separate the in-ring from the performance art and all that shit. Like, it's nothing new. It's nothing, not a new argument. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rance. You go ahead.
Is Elias a part-timer?
Elias is a no-timer.
Okay.
Elias wrestles like one match.
Also ran in a land full of giants, is what he is. All right?
See, Carl, now I've given you a new phrase. You're welcome.
Get ready.
You're welcome.
Thank you, buddy.
Let's get out of Titan Towers for a minute and let's talk some New Japan for just a quick second. Because I don't know what's going on over there. I don't.
I don't either. I have no idea what's going on with the New Japan Cup. I do know that they did not sell a lot of tickets to this Dallas show.
No.
And it begs some interesting questions to be asked. You go ahead and throw shade with the number, and I'll throw shade with the questions we need to ask.
So the actual G1, right? The final, right?
Well, I don't think it's the final, but it's
the first night of the G1.
It's the first night of the G1.
Is in Dallas, right? They sold 1,500 tickets.
What arena is this at?
American Airlines Center, bruh. 17,000.
They might as well have gone to a fucking high school gym.
And here's the really interesting question that it begs with New Japan. And I say this as someone who has a subscription to New Japan World. Like, I can watch that shit. I haven't had time to watch it as much lately, but I can watch that shit whenever the fuck I want. It begs the question of, were a lot of these people, and especially the ones that bought tickets for, like, Madison Square Garden and shit, like, are a lot of these people as interested in New Japan, or were they just interested in the elite guys?
Well, concerning the Madison Square Garden,
That's WrestleMania weekend, and there's 100,000 wrestling fans in the city. Right,
and that was a moment, much like All In was. It's the regular shit that don't sell.
Yeah. Well, it just shows that, like, that they're not, obviously, at least in the States, they're not going to be on the level of hardly anybody, really, because the very few, I mean, 1,500 people was nothing.
Let's be real about this. Let's be real about this. I understand you're gonna have the main three. You got Okada, you got Naito, you got Tanahashi. Cool. Jay White is the world champ, and he's the leader of the Tongans, who we have all deference to. Gotcha. Yes.
And he's at least an English speaker.
Yes. But my point is, who else can you name?
I can name a lot of people, but that's because I'm a regular watcher.
Nick Miller, the boring half of TM61, is in the New Japan Cup. And Mikey Nichols is a really good wrestler. But he's a big part of the New Japan Cup. Like, what are we... Cole Cabana had to come over to wrestle in the New Japan Cup. Like, what are we doing? Somebody got hurt. Who was it got hurt? And they replaced him with Taguchi.
But again, I'm going to give a little bit of credit. We've thrown a lot of shade at him because we have a lot of legitimate questions about their business model. But I'm going to give some credit to the AEW guys, because you think about with New Japan and Ring of Honor, and especially New Japan when they would run shows in America, that's like half their mid card.
100%.
And Kenny was a main eventer.
100%.
But like, you lose Hangman, you lose Cody, you lose Marty, you lose the Bucks. Like,
yep.
All those people being out, like, that's a huge part. And I was going to say, and you've got the other people that are signing with them. You got Best Friends. You've got...
SCU wasn't in New Japan, but that's a Ring of Honor thing.
Yeah, so like, just a lot of these guys that those companies had relied on that American audiences knew and were familiar with and wanted to pay to see aren't going to be there.
This is how low they are. And I say again, this sounds so disrespectful, but facts are facts. I'm not trying to be. Chase Owens got the push to face Juice Robinson for the
U.S. And we love the Crown Jewel, y'all.
He's amazing.
Great.
He's really good. But Chase Owens was the guy that hangs out with Yujiro, with the Tokyo Pimp. Tokyo Pimp ain't won a match since he became the Tokyo Pimp. It's like, what are we doing?
Well, yep. Good thing I don't watch New Japan, so we're good. I'm not hurt at all.
Speaking of the AEW guys, did you see the Bucks go and win the AAA Tag Champs and nobody said shit? The crowd made no noise?
Well, because they're fucking... I saw this, and I actually agree with it, and normally I've seen people defend it, but why is it every time they go somewhere, they got to get, like... People act like they're not going to book themselves to be on the top in AEW... Bullshit. I'm calling bullshit right now. Every time they go to some random ass fucking promotion to compete for the tag titles, what happens? They win the fucking tag titles. No story.
Well, because
their gimmick, they just went over there.
Because their actual gimmick is they're the best tag team in the world.
Well, good for them. And they're going to go book themselves to be top dogs like everybody says they won't.
Does anybody think Pentagon and Phoenix are going to beat them at Double or Nothing? Like,
no.
There you go.
No.
I'm not, like, I like the
only one of the only one of the elite guys that's going to do the job at Double or Nothing is the only one who ever agrees to do the job.
Adam Hangman Page.
And I love Hangman. I love Hangman. He's probably my favorite of all of them. I've bought two Hangman Page shirts. So, like, I love me some Hangman.
Do you think Marty is saying, damn, I got it good by not going with him? Or do you think he misses him?
Both.
Speaking of that. So, both. We used to talk Ring of Honor every week on this podcast. We don't much anymore because nothing of consequence is happening. But I do, I loved what they did with Lethal and Taven with the 60-minute match. That was throwback 2002, 2003 Ring of Honor. That was a good move for them.
Yes, that's old school.
I loved it.
Hey, what are the two guys who wrestled with Matt Taven in the Kingdom name, Carl?
Man, you know what? I was so embroiled in the match, I forgot. Their name. Got you. Yeah.
Okay. I love the idea of the triple threat between Taven, Marty, and Lethal. By the way, give Marty his one-on-one match that he's won like three times now. But I want to get your opinion on this, Kyle, and we can get out of here on this because now we're talking about shit that whatever.
Yeah.
I know you hate the Briscoes, and I don't.
Fuck them.
I don't like to talk to you about them, but this is important just for the purposes of this conversation.
I'll let it go. Go ahead.
The Briscoes have been the top tag team there for a long time. They've been the champs for a minute since Final Battle, actually, I believe. PCO and they have been booked to face G.O.D. at the G1 Special, Madison Square Garden.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Last minute.
Go Tongans, go.
Yep. Right, go Tongans, of course. Last minute, the G.O.D. is a better version of the Briscoes than the Briscoes. Last minute, PCO and Brody beat them for the tag titles and change it overnight. This is the type of shit that takes me out of companies when you bait and switch like that. Because for however you feel about the Briscoes, their credibility is untouched in that company as a tag team. That's the match you should want to see. The best tag team in that company versus the best tag team in this company. PCO and Brody have wrestled like three matches together, dog. Like, what are we doing?
First of all, really love that description of the Tongans as a better version of the Briscoes than the Briscoes. All of the badass, none of the bigotry.
Well, the Usos, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all of the badass, none of the bigotry. 100%. It's amazing how you can be both a badass and completely tolerant and not a garbage human. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But anyway... No, that is kind of bullshit, and the match would probably honestly be better with those assholes versus the Tongans than with PCO and Brody, and that's not a disrespect to PCO and Brody, other than, like, they old styles. And not a tag team.
Different styles. Do you know?
Yeah, I do. I can't just be silent for these whole segments. I gotta say something.
Hey, Taven and Jay White need to walk out of that show as world champs, and then Rance is happy. Because Taven deserved that title for a year.
What's yeah. Jay White? I know he's the champion.
Kingdom Conspiracy.
What's he doing? Does he have any involvement in the New Japan Cup?
The New Japan Cup winner faces Jay White at
show. Gotcha.
So have you been keeping up with the standings? Because I know Okada just beat Ospreay last night.
No, I've honestly just been like all in on it's grade season at work. Okay. So I've been all in on that.
The favorite was Kota because Kota and Switchblade makes a lot of sense with Kota finally putting.
Well, and Kota, Kota finally signed a contract. So like,
the only reason he was never pushed was because he didn't sign a contract. So now he signed a contract, you'd think push him to the moon. But then the question is, what do you do at that show with Okada, Tanahashi, and Naito? By the way, Hiro Mesh, New Japan, Tetsuya Naito still wrestles for your company. I just hope you know that.
Yeah, you know him. He's that guy. You know him. He's that guy that's supposed to be Sonata's leader, not lackey.
He's also the guy that won most popular in your company like 3 years in a row, unprecedented.
And is the leader of the most popular stable.
Is Hiromu back? I heard that he's ready to come back.
If Hiromu comes back, I'm going to be so happy. Oh, my gosh.
He might not be able to wrestle, but I think he's ready to at
least I don't even care. I don't care if he ever wrestles again.
I'm with you. I just want to see him back. And would... Okay, so this is the dick in me. But wouldn't the perfect story be Hiromu comes back and then Shingo beats the shit out of him and Shingo gets kicked out?
And that'd be awesome. Thing.
I love your
conversation well, so much. Well, no, and his promo could be how the dragon was the hint, because wasn't it Dragon Lee that...
I think you're right, yeah.
So, like, that could be like, I'm the dragon. You should have seen this coming. You should have known what it was.
Oh, and by the way, the other members of the Kingdom, Carl, are Vinny Marciolago. I know I'm not saying his name right, but nobody does.
Marseglia. Vinny Marseglia and TK O'Ryan.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
Vinny Marseglia has balloons and carries an axe.
So when he's a hurricane. So whenever you see the balloons released from underneath the ring, you know the Kingdom's coming and somebody about to get their ass beat.
That's cool.
It sounds crazy.
TK O'Ryan played college baseball. So TK O'Ryan played college baseball.
I'm not completely under a rock. I know who the Kingdom are. I don't know their names, but I've seen the balloon stuff. Not completely under a rock. I try to stay as much under the rock as possible, but I'm not completely under the rock with that.
Did you see the Rush and Bandido match when Rush held the ropes for like 16 seconds so Bandido could jump off the top of it and double stomp him? The dumbest shit I've seen forever. And you wonder why I fucking hate Lucha. She was stupid. Sorry.
You know, I'm going to let it go because I talked a lot of shit about Kurt Angle tonight. It's so fair. Like, I'm going to let it go.
Damn right.
Carl, let's get out of here on this. What are your predictions for G1? For the G1 special at Madison Square Garden WrestleMania weekend.
My prediction is going to be a great show. Can't wait.
Who's going to win the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match?
Yes. Probably Jay White. He'll probably retain.
Who's going to win the IC title match?
Me. I'm going to win the title.
Who's the IC champion?
I have no fucking idea.
I don't either. No, I'm lying. It's Naito. That's how bad this is. Nobody knows. They need to fix that. If Naito was going through this in WWE, the fans would be begging for him to quit.
Man, if Naito was in WWE, as much as I love singles Andrade, I need them to be tranquilo together.
Oh, by the way, shout out to the newest member of Los Ingobernables. Charlotte Flair.
The GOAT. The one who's walking out of WrestleMania as the champion.
I mean, she's pretty tranquila for the most part.
She really is. She really is.
Tranquila. All
right, gentlemen. Any last words before we got here?
Yes. Two things. Kyle, I'm still pissed off about the Kurt Angle slander.
I apologize for nothing. I said what I said.
I know. And that's okay. And two, I have a theory, and we don't even have to talk about it. I'm mostly just trolling. I put it out there on Twitter that the reason why Vince is running Mania for 8 hours is so that by the time the night is over, the crowd will be so worn out that when Becky doesn't win the title, there won't be any boos. That's my theory.
You say that, but did you see how they booed Brock at the end of last year?
Oh, yeah. I was there. I saw it. I'm just
They
trolling.
Saved some stuff in reserve. They brought like little gas cans to re-energize themselves to shit on that match.
Do you think, real quick before we get out here, do you think that if they flipped it and had Becky go on before the Brian and Kofi thing and Becky didn't win, do you think that Kofi would still get the desired reaction, the go-home happy reaction, and they would be over it with Becky?
They wouldn't be over it with Becky, but they'd revel in the fact that Kofi won. I think they'd still be pissed, but because they're separate entities in which both are deserving.
What I'm saying is, you don't think they would shit on the Kofi Bryan match?
No.
If that match happened before?
No.
And Becky didn't win?
No.
I feel like it's kind of an interesting thing, because you know how fans can be when they don't get what they want, hijacking shows and shit.
Well, Kyle, I think it's a better question for you to ask, because you actually are a Becky supporter. What do you think?
I don't give a fuck what they do, man. I just want to watch the show.
All six matches of the 17.
Hey, you know what? I'll be hyped as fuck for those six matches.
Hey, man.
And I might watch three of the others.
If you go 6-17 in baseball, you're a Hall of Famer. So that's all that matters.
You know what? I might watch
That's all I got. That's all I got for that. I have nothing else. trying to help Kyle out, and I shouldn't. Because he shit on Kurt Angle. Card.
I said what I said.
Is this the last episode of Outsider's Edge? Tune in next week.
Spoiler alert, it's not. No. We love each other.
Yeah.
But you can find me on Twitter at Dr. S'mores, and you can tell me all about all the reasons you think I'm wrong. And shout out to one of the things making me happy in wrestling right now. Nobody's watching wrestling. Drag queens, wrestling, fun.
You can find me on Twitter at OutsiderCurvin, and you can tell me how you also disagree that Kurt Angle is an also-ran, was an also-ran in a land full of giants. That's all I got.
Is this the most contention we've had since the Bobby Roode debacle?
For there me was and a Kyle, Bobby probably, Roode debacle?
For me and Kyle, definitely. I don't know. Me and Rand.
The show stopped for 15 minutes. Like, we didn't move on for 15 minutes. Because him and Caleb pissed me off so much about that.
I thought it was just me. I thought Caleb liked Bobby Roode. I can't remember.
No, both of whoever. It was two people against me.
Okay. Then.
Well, yeah. I know it wasn't me because you know I stand for Bobby Roode.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fine to be wrong, guys. It's okay. I say it all the time.
The It Factor was the man.
I'm off the chain. So you can catch me at It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. Follow the show at Outsiders Edge SS. New handle probably. We're going to figure out something. If you're listening, whoever owns the handle at Outsiders Edge, talk to me. I'll send you a shirt. Let me have it. You don't tweet. You can follow The Chair Shot at thechairshot.com. Of course, follow the network and my sister's show, Chair Shot Radio, at Chair Shot Radio. We got to pay the bills a little bit, so don't forget to go to www.prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all your merchandise needs. Outsider's Edge shirts coming very, very, very soon, probably as early as WrestleMania. Excuse me. But in the meantime, get a Jesus Did the Job shirt. Get a Baron Corbin Sucks shirt under protest. Save Tag Team Wrestling shirt. There's a bunch of them. Go get them. And, of course, the lifeblood of our company now. Holler at us on Patreon. www.patreon.com/thechairshot. Become a patron of The Chair Shot. We have numerous tiers. They start at $5. That's cheaper than the network. That's cheaper than New Japan World. That's cheaper than Uncle Dave's bullshit. Holler at us and get all the amazing content you can get. Exclusive columns, exclusive content, exclusive podcasts, podcasts early. You can get this show a daily early. You get a whole bonus episode of other shows. You have bonus content from this show. Holler at us. At a certain tier, you can even have your own podcast. We'll run, we'll moderate, and we'll edit for you. Holler at us.
Hey, if you pay enough money, you can hang out with me.
Not
it's
me.
It's true.
Can I scratch it's that? True. Because that not might not me, be appealing. No.
Hurtful.
I'm sorry. I love you. But legitimately, there is a tier that, you know, if you pay enough, we'll come to your house and we'll come hang out with you. Legitimately. Yeah.
Kyle's like, no, the fuck I won't.
I'm going to bring him on that plane, kicking and screaming. But no, thank That's you guys for listening. Thank you guys for supporting. We love you guys. Even though we tell you you're wrong all the time, we love you and appreciate your support and your listening. You make us who we are. We're trying to make this thing bigger and better. We got 2 more weeks of WrestleMania, y'all. Don't forget to throw up a black fist and listen to Nation Domination theme in support of Kofi. You just in case you don't think you can stand with us. Go back and look at that clip of the Nation Domination coming out and that one white kid in the stands by himself with the fist.
Owen Hart's white ass joined up with the Nation, y'all. And he's Anyone not a nugget. Can do it.
And he's not a nugget. Oh, speaking of white people, the theme song is written by J.C. Ice and Wolfie D, 2 Caucasians. So you know what? Y'all can support.
And that theme song bangs.
Fruk is the man, if you know what I'm saying. But we got to get out of here, so.
Well, y'all, we here at the Outsider's Edge are approaching the ripe old age of old enough to not care. But nonetheless, we're out here chasing our dreams to the best of our ability. And we know that sometimes when we chase those dreams, we might fuck up and forget how to speak, or we might say really angry and hurtful things to you, like Kurt Angle was a B-plus player.
Oh, no! We just got Carl back regularly. He won't be back for 6 more months after this now. Oh, my God. No.
All right.
But if we said anything that made you feel salty, just know that we're out here chasing our dreams. And you got to respect that.
Oh, God.
Because if you don't,
Kyle doesn't give a fuck. Definitely. Thanks for listening, guys.
We'll see you next week.